Welcome to Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland. I'm Karen James. Washington County Justice Initiative is committed to ending racial, economic, and systemic violence in the Washington County criminal legal system. My guest is Mallory Maloney, Minister of Information with the Washington County Justice Initiative. Welcome, Mallory.
Thank you, Karen. Thanks for having me.
The Washington County Justice Initiative is a fairly new organization. So when did you form and why?
We were formed last May or June, around there. And we were formed because there was a group of us who, during our day jobs, we work as public defense providers. And what I mean by that is attorneys as well as investigators and legal assistants who serve clients who are accused of crimes and unable to afford counsel. And so we're very passionate about that work, but we were interested in doing some more upstream advocacy because the nature of public defense work is typically harm reduction, meaning that by the time we're assigned to a case, significant harm has already been done. Our client has typically already been arrested, which in itself can be a traumatic experience. Sometimes they've lost their job as a result of their arrest. Sometimes they've been ordered not to return to their home because another person in the household is involved in the case. And so they may not have a place to go. Sometimes DHS gets involved and removes children. And a lot of these things can happen before we even meet the client. So there's just so much harm that's done before we get involved in the case. And often our job is trying to mitigate or prevent additional harm from occurring to our client. We were asking ourselves what we can do to advocate against this kind of systemic harm and violence that we see inflicted upon our clients on a broader level in a way that might prevent some of the harms we were seeing from occurring in the first place. And we were also thinking about how we can use our unique perspectives as actors within the criminal legal system to advance our goals. We recognize that we're in a privileged position that allows us to see patterns within local prosecution, local law enforcement, and judicial practices. And we wanted to figure out a way how to use that information that we are able to gather based on our day-to-day experiences in our work and apply that to more broad advocacy.
Mallory, name a few of the issues that you've been working on in the past year.
Sure. So one of our earliest efforts was a demonstration against systemic violence in the county that took place in the wake of the publication of a video showing a brutal attack against Washington County resident Albert Molina, who in 2018 was attacked by Deputy Ryan Alden while in the custody of the Washington County Jail. We had a demonstration because we recognized that this was not an isolated incident, though it was an incident that was receiving a lot of publicity. And we wanted to draw attention to the issues that we see as ongoing problems within the county, not only with police violence, but with policing in general and prosecution, or in the case of Ryan Alden, lack thereof, where there was a two-year delay between the incident, the attack on Albert Molina, and the Washington County District Attorney's Office taking any action against Ryan Alden.
Mallory, talk about what actually happened, that incident that left Albert Molina with permanent brain damage.
So what happened with Mr. Molina, in 2018, Albert Molina was arrested on suspicion of DUI for riding a bicycle while allegedly impaired by alcohol. He was taken to the Washington County Jail, and once he was booked, according to Deputy Ryan Alden, who is now facing his own criminal charges, Albert Molina stood up and, according to Deputy Alden, engaged in some kind of words or actions that were threatening. What we saw in the video, once that was released last year, is Deputy Ryan Alden attacking Albert Molina with apparently no real reason or justification for that use of force. And as you said, Albert Molina now has permanent injuries as a result of that attack.
And the Washington County Sheriff's Office and District Attorney Kevin Barton declined to take any action against Ryan Alden.
Yes. So the Washington County Sheriff's Office investigated the incident in 2018, as did the Washington County District Attorney's Office. The Washington County District Attorney's Office reviewed the video that has now become public of the attack, determined that it was of relatively inconsequential to the charging decision, or at that time, lack thereof. And then nothing really happened with that case until 2 years later. Last spring or summer, Mr. Molina's civil attorney obtained and released a video showing the attack. And it was after the release of that video to the public that the Washington County District Attorney's Office finally decided to pursue charges against Deputy Alden. And Deputy Alden was placed on, I believe, administrative leave. The case involving Albert Molina was one of the things that really got the group of us who are founding members of Washington County Justice Initiative talking about what we can do on a broader level to address these kinds of instances of violence and discrimination we see played out in our county, not just in the Washington County Jail, but at the hands of various law enforcement agencies.
Accountability.
Exactly. Accountability is something that one of our primary goals is holding police and prosecutors accountable.
And I want to mention, Mallory, that people can watch that video of that brutal attack by Washington County Deputy Ryan Alden on your website at wcji.org. And another project you worked on last year was voter registration during the recent elections in November. So talk about your work to register people to vote.
Leading up to the November election, we had a voter registration push in which we were focused on helping folks register to vote, specifically folks who were legal system involved, meaning, you know, facing criminal charges, incarcerated in the jail pre-trial or post-conviction on misdemeanor offenses, or folks that are houseless and may not have an address where they can receive their voter registration forms and take necessary steps to vote in the election. As part of that push, we actually were able to coordinate with the jail to have voter registration cards provided to people in custody, and a number of folks signed up that way, and we were able to pick up those cards and take the necessary steps in order to register those people. We also had members of our organization go to a couple different locations within the county to help register houseless individuals to vote. There was a Safe Sleep Village at the Washington County Fairgrounds for a period of time where a number of houseless folks were residing temporarily. We registered people to vote at that location, as well as open door counseling, where there was a tent outside and people were able to access shower and restroom facilities, get food, and, you know, when we were there, also register to vote.
And you also helped elect Beaverton Mayor Lacey Beatty. What about her platform impressed you, and how will you hold her accountable?
We're very hopeful about Lacey Beatty's position as Beaverton mayor and her willingness to be held accountable to her constituents. We had a meeting with her where she was kind enough to answer a number of questions that we posed to her about criminal legal issues, mental health services, services for folks facing addiction and in need of housing. And our impression of her was that she was, you know, willing to have these conversations with community members, and we hope that she will continue to do so. We will certainly be keeping an eye on the action she takes going forward and seeking to reach out if we have any concerns, and reach out with any policy issues that we think she should be paying attention to.
And Mallory, you've been following the Washington County Board of Commissioners and the budget process, and you advocated against funding for the Washington County Sheriff's Office body cameras.
Yes. So we have pretty significant concerns about the Washington County budget process and the Board of Commissioners' willingness to take seriously concerns expressed by community members. Last August, there was a series of community conversations or listening sessions that the Board of Commissioners had revolving around the issue of additional funding to the Washington County Sheriff's Office for body-worn cameras. The amount of funding that was on the table was $1.3 million, so not an insignificant number. And there were, I believe, six or so virtual forums where community members expressed their input on the issue of body-worn cameras. We heard a number of concerns expressed by community members, including privacy and surveillance, and the fact that officers have complete control over when the body-worn cameras are turned on and off, and whether there is any meaningful accountability that can come from the use of body-worn cameras. When we look at the issue of body-worn cameras globally, our concerns are first and foremost that body-worn cameras have had no proven impact on police misconduct. So there's really no data we can look to that says if police are equipped with body-worn cameras, communities are safer or police are held accountable. Our other concern is the funding aspect, that $1.3 million that the sheriff's office asked for and ultimately received is money that could and should have gone to social services, such as funding for housing, funding for drug addiction treatment, mental health services. Another issue that we saw with body-worn cameras is officers having complete control over when they are turned on and off. Not only when the cameras are turned on and off, but when they record audio. We, in our day jobs, routinely receive body-worn camera recordings showing interactions between law enforcement and the people we represent where the audio has been turned off for substantial portions of the interaction. So we really have no idea what is going on as our clients are being questioned or searched. There are also concerns about what happens to that recording after police encounter a citizen. Sometimes that recording is uploaded into evidence if there is a criminal case. Other times officers neglect to upload a body-worn camera recording into evidence, and the individual accused of a crime or their attorney may not even be aware that that recording exists until they get to day of trial or a motion hearing where there's testimony taken. And then it comes to light that all this time there was in fact a recording of the incident, but the officer neglected to enter it into evidence. And so nobody ever knew this video existed.
Now, your website also talks about the bloated district attorney's budget. Now, can you talk about funding for that office?
Sure. So the Washington County District Attorney's Office has historically received a disproportionate amount of funding, and funding that is particularly disproportionate when you look at funding available to court-appointed counsel or public defenders in the state. Public defenders or court-appointed counsel are funded through a state agency, whereas the Washington County District Attorney's Office is funded through the county. And so there's no pay parity between those two offices. And it's not just an issue of who's getting paid more, it's the resources available. The Washington County District Attorney's Office has at their disposal every law enforcement agency in the county. So if they need something investigated for a case, they have the Tigard Police Department or the Beaverton Police Department or whatever law enforcement agency has jurisdiction over that particular issue. When a person accused of a crime needs investigation done for their case, in our world where the people accused are indigent and cannot afford to hire a private investigator, we have limited resources available, and those resources are based on the funding we receive from the state. So it's just simply not a level playing field. And the amount of funding that the district attorney's office receives allow them to have enormous discretion on which cases they take, which is, as far as I'm concerned, virtually every case they can take, and really no concern that they're going to, you know, run out of money or not be able to prosecute this case if they prosecute that case. They have the funds to prosecute essentially anything and everything they desire.
So let's talk about our district attorney, Kevin Barton. Now, the district attorney is an elected position. So Kevin Barton was elected in 2018, so he's fairly new. And our last district attorney, Bob Herman, served 5 terms, almost 20 years in the county. They hold a lot of discretion. And last year, a bill was passed by the Oregon legislature requiring district attorneys across Oregon to list their policies on their websites. So which policies would you like to see on the Washington County District Attorney's website?
So the Washington County District Attorney has published policies after that bill took effect. We have a number of concerns about the policies that have been published and the policies that have been used by this district attorney's office for years. We also have noticed some discrepancies between the published policy and what we see in practice in our day jobs. Some of the particularly concerning aspects of the policies that have been published relate to contact with immigration authorities and the practice of requesting that victims of domestic violence be arrested when they do not appear for court as they're ordered to do. So one of the policies that is concerning to us says that the district attorney's office communicates with ICE if there is reason to believe that a defendant in a criminal case is present in the United States illegally, and there is a concern related to public safety. So that's extremely broad language that the prosecutor, the elected district attorney, Kevin Barton, has opted to include in this policy that essentially says that they will communicate with ICE whenever they choose to, because when they say there is a concern related to public safety, that has really broad implications as far as the DA's position. So we hear about concerns related to public safety whenever we have release hearings where we're asking for our clients to be able to be released from custody because they're not able to afford bail set. Sometimes even when a person is not accused of a crime involving harm to another, the prosecutor handling that case will raise concerns about public safety. And that is sometimes when somebody is accused of drug possession, sometimes when somebody is accused of misdemeanor theft, shoplifting charge, public safety is brought up in these situations. And the fact that public safety is brought up in those situations where there is no threat of harm to another person makes us very concerned that public safety will also be deemed relevant in determining whether to contact immigration authorities if the district attorney's office has reason to believe that an accused person is not in the United States legally. The policy that allows district attorneys to request that domestic violence victims be arrested is also of particular concern to us and something that many of our members of our organization have seen play out in our day jobs. The policy is based on the premise that sometimes victims of domestic violence are unwilling to come to court because they are afraid of retribution or being pressured by their abuser. And while I certainly accept that those situations exist, I think that there are far more instances in which a person who is named as a victim of domestic violence simply does not wish to cooperate with the prosecution because they have decided that is not the best choice for them in their situation. And it's extremely concerning that the district attorney has a policy of allowing arrest warrants to be sought in these cases and allowing somebody who they've identified as a victim to be re-traumatized by incarceration. And the policy does, you know, in the interest of full disclosure, the policy, I believe, makes clear that they are to be booked and released and not held in the jail. But just the fact that law enforcement is going out and arresting somebody who is supposedly a victim and taking away their autonomy and not giving them a choice about whether they wish to participate in the prosecution is very concerning.
And Mallory, which other policies of the Washington County District Attorney's Office does your group have issues with?
We would really love to see a prosecutor in office who takes seriously the collateral consequences of criminal convictions. And when I say collateral consequences of criminal convictions, I'm talking about the possibility of deportation for a person who is not a United States citizen, even if they're in the country illegally. I'm talking about the loss of housing for a person who is convicted of a crime, or the loss of the ability to receive federal student aids and go to college. These are all what we call collateral consequences. The current policy says that line prosecutors may consider collateral consequences, but that ultimately the accused is responsible for any collateral consequences that may arise. I would really love to see somebody in office who recognizes that these collateral consequences are of enormous import, and a person who faces the possibility of losing their housing or becoming subject to removal proceedings and taken away from the country they've grown up in because they were not born here, that those are extremely serious ramifications, and those things should be considered in a meaningful way when determining what an appropriate resolution is in a case. Another collateral consequence is loss of services for people who are arrested and were receiving benefits as a result of their mental illness, or they're arrested and then they no longer have continuous access to the prescription medications that they need in order to be healthy. One problem we see in our county on a pretty regular basis is reliance placed on police officers when what's really needed is mental health help. So often in our work as public defense providers, we hear from family members or friends who call the police seeking help for a loved one who is having a mental health crisis and needs services, but instead police respond and end up arresting that person. And that's also something that we are aware of just as community members and, you know, members of our organization, a repeated problem where police are sent out when, in fact, mental health services are needed. We just saw this happen in Tigard the first week of January this year when police responded to a call and ended up shooting and killing Jacob McDuff. Mr. McDuff was in his vehicle, according to law enforcement reports, and law enforcement say that he was not cooperative in exiting the vehicle. His roommate also spoke to media and says that she had called the police seeking mental health help for him. And obviously, instead of providing mental health help, police ended up shooting and killing him. So the Washington County District Attorney's Office has been tasked with investigating the shooting death of Mr. McDuff. We don't believe that the Washington County District Attorney's Office is equipped to do this for a number of reasons. First, the DA's office has a ongoing and very close working relationship with the Tigard Police Department. The Tigard Police Department has officers that are routinely witnesses in cases for the district attorney. Deputy district attorneys who work for the DA's office are routinely in touch, communicate with Tigard police officers regarding ongoing investigations. So there is a very close back and forth relationship between these two agencies, the DA's office and the Tigard Police Department. And additionally, we saw what happened when the DA's office was tasked with investigating the attack against Albert Molina in 2018. And we saw that nothing happened until the video of the attack was publicized over 2 years later. So we do not believe that the DA's office should be investigating the killing of Mr. McDuff. We believe that the DA's office should recuse themselves and an independent investigating agency should be assigned.
And your website claims that you have hard data that shows that city police and the Washington County Sheriff's Office deputies engage in more stops, arrests, and citations disproportionately against people of color. That's interesting because isn't Washington County predominantly white?
So I believe that about one in six of our Washington County residents is Latinx. I think depending on where you're looking at the data, I think one in four, give or take, is BIPOC, but it is a largely white community. And the data that you're talking about comes, I believe, from the Oregon Criminal Justice Commission. There was a study that they did in 2018, 2019, and published the results end of the year 2019, where they found that there were a number of law enforcement agencies in the state that were stopping people of color in traffic stops at disproportionate rates. And Beaverton Police Department, Hillsborough Police Department, and the Washington County Sheriff's Office were among the law enforcement agencies where we saw disparities. And these were disparities, depending on which specific agency you're looking at, not just in who's getting stopped, but also who is getting arrested and who is being subjected to searches once they are stopped.
So Mallory, Washington County Justice Initiative has been very busy during this past year. So what does the future hold?
We're very interested in figuring out how best to raise awareness about nonpartisan candidates and elected officials in the county, such as, you know, judicial positions, the district attorney's position, sheriff's races. Washington County is sometimes mischaracterized as overwhelmingly or almost exclusively white and very conservative, but in fact, it's neither of those things. About one in four of our residents is BIPOC, and more specifically, one in six Washington County residents is Latinx. And Washington County is a very progressive community. Well over 60% of county residents voted in favor of ballot measure 110, which resulted in the decriminalization of simple drug possession. So that's a significant majority of voters in Washington County who are supportive of that. Democrats are typically elected in partisan races in the county. But what we've seen is that people elected into nonpartisan positions, like judicial positions or the district attorney's role, have historically been very conservative. And we'd really like to see that change. And we believe that if the public is more informed about who these conservative nonpartisan candidates and elected officials are and what they do once they're in office, we think that that will change. So we're really focused on bringing public awareness to these nonpartisan candidates and elected officials.
And so many people skip over the judges on their ballot because they just don't know, do they?
Yeah, exactly.
And Mallory, your group does partner with other local organizations. So which groups do you work with?
So we are part of One Oregon, which is a statewide coalition that defends against anti-immigrant and anti-Muslim policies. And we also coordinate quite a bit with Sunrise Beaverton, which is a hub of the Sunrise Movement.
And what other services does the Washington County Justice Initiative provide? For instance, do you provide legal advice?
We do not provide legal advice. We are an advocacy organization working on policy issues, but unfortunately, we are not in a position to provide any kind of legal advice.
So Mallory, give your website and tell us how people can get involved.
Sure. Our website is wcji.org. There is a contact us page on that site where you can reach out and send us a message if you'd like to become involved or support our work. We're also on Twitter at WashcoJI and on Facebook at facebook.com/WashcoJI. We're hoping to gear up with some new actions in 2021, and we will be posting about those on social media and the website.
Mallory, thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you, Karen.
I've been speaking with Mallory Maloney with the Washington County Justice Initiative, and thank you for listening.